Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you for the rest of the show. Appreciate Max Herz from Preds Radio joining us in the first hour. Preds, three games down up in the Great White North. They got one more tomorrow in Winnipeg taking on the Jets. Talked a lot of hockey in the first hour. It'll be all football the rest of the way. Titans hosting the Patriots on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. First home game in just about a month, and obviously a lot of big college football games. Tennessee going down to Tuscaloosa, third Saturday in October, taking on Alabama. Vandy hosting LSU. Vandy favored in that game. Ole Miss, Georgia, USC, Notre Dame. We'll get to all of them throughout the rest of the show. Before we get into the Titans here, Connor Newt, how about the 40-year-olds last night in that Thursday night football
game? The Unk Bowl.
I mean,
speaking of Unks, I'm 99% sure Joe Rexroad is deaf because this headphone jack was jacked up to max volume.
All the way up. Mine was a little low this morning. Robbie usually has it pretty high, but
yeah, well, Joe had this, like, trying to make me deaf. I'm going to get hearing aids before he does. But yeah, the Unk Bowl.
The Unk Bowl last night. The Icy Hot Bowl, as I believe TV called it yesterday. Joe Flacco looked like a man possessed out there.
This is what I've learned about Joe Flacco. I use this term a lot, and I'm going to use it in a positive connotation because that's how I think it should be used. He is the ultimate game manager.
Yeah.
When you surround Joe Flacco with elite talent, he's going to give you good results. Look at the talent he was throwing to in Cleveland. Cedric Tillman and Jerry Jeudy. Who would you rather throw the ball to? Those two or Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins?
It's close.
it's quite the debate. The debate of the century. But look, when you put him in a situation where he's throwing to arguably the best receiver in football, he's probably going to give you some good results.
I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, franchise record, 16 catches last night.
I mean, they force-fed him a little bit. But that's okay. They won the game.
Yeah, it was, Ja'Marr Chase ending fantasy matchups before they even start last night. I want to say he had like 30-something points. So
fortunately, I didn't play him this week.
I did not play him either, thankfully. I don't have him, but
I got Jaylen Warren. He got me 20.
Yeah,
so thank
you. There you go. Respectable. Aaron Rodgers looked good, too. He did. But Joe Flacco made the plays necessary down the stretch. That throw to T. Higgins to ice the game or to set up the game-winning field goal was just perfect throw over the top. Dropped it in the bucket. T. Higgins with the awareness to slide down instead of going into the end zone allowed the Bengals to kick the field goal with 10 seconds left. And then, Aaron Rodgers, the Hail Mary King, couldn't quite get that one to DK Metcalf.
I wonder if Flacco heard Mike Tomlin's comments about him earlier. Did you hear this?
No.
Basically, they asked Tomlin's opinion on Flacco being traded inside the division, and he's like, well, the Bengals just must be smarter than I am because what has he shown you to tell you that he's a good quarterback at this age? I guess he took it personally.
33-31, final. Bengals get their first win since Joe Burrow got hurt, and they're now 3-4 on the year. Steelers fall back to 4-2, and it was a great game last night, one that, on paper, wasn't really sure it was going to be all that competitive. The Bengals have not been good since Burrow went down, but Joe Flacco showed up last night, and the Bengals finally get back in the win column.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I've learned about Thursday night. It's either going to be a horrible, horrible game, or it's going to deliver.
Right.
And it's delivered.
The primetime games, I'll give them all credit this year. Outside of a few exceptions, the primetime games have been good.
Yeah, well, you've gotten
this season
heavyweight matchups from the start.
Right. You had Lions-Ravens and Bills-Ravens.
Yeah. Lions-Chiefs.
There's been a ton of good ones. So, other big news last night, our old friend Treylon Burks signing to the Washington Commanders practice squad. As someone who grew up outside D.C., I've got a lot of friends who are Washington Commanders fans, and they texted me and asked, can Treylon Burks be a good player? I said, if he stays healthy, maybe we'll find out. Because he hasn't stayed healthy since he was drafted.
It's like that that meme of the broken record player, I think.
Right. It's
broken, but could be fun to fix.
Doesn't work, but could be fun to fix. Yeah, that's kind of what Treylon Burks is. I also mentioned, like, if he also learns how to fall, maybe that would help. Because every time he hits the ground, he breaks something. So, I'm rooting for Treylon Burks. I think he's been unlucky, of course, since he got into the league. I mean, the concussions, and he had the knee injury heading into his second year in that Vikings joint practice. And then, of course, last chance this year, he had an opportunity to go try and make the roster, and he breaks his collarbone in the stadium practice the first week of training camp. So, you know, rooting for him. Hopefully it works out, but, you know, so far he has not shown the...
I mean, it's a low risk. If you were to ask me right now, it's a low risk, low reward move. But, you know, maybe he'll prove me wrong.
Right. I mean, still a talented player. You don't get... You don't get drafted as high as he did if you don't have talent.
And Washington's receivers are banged up.
They are.
Terry McLaurin.
Well, we'll see what Treylon Burks... I'm not counting on Treylon Burks ever becoming a consistent contributor in the NFL, but I'm glad that he got another chance, and we'll see what he can do out there in Washington. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts, your texts, your calls on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get into the Titans. Titans... with the Vrabel Bowl this weekend, Mike Vrabel returning to town. He will face Mike McCoy in his debut as the interim head coach of the Titans. How you feeling about this one, Connor? You know, you haven't been able to react to all this on the air quite yet. I know you were on Talking with TD with Teron on Wednesday, but what are your thoughts on the post-Callahan era beginning on Sunday with an old friend, if you want to call him that, coming to town?
I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. It's hard for me to care at this point. Like, I'm not as emotionally invested as I have been in years past, and that's just because of how bad they are and how bad I think ownership is handling this whole fiasco. I mean, it's been a multi-year process since John Robinson was fired that is just slowly – well, not even before that. The reason he got fired, trading A.J. Brown, seems like that was the spark of just this – downward tragedy spiral that we're going through. So it's hard for me to be completely invested in this one. That said, I don't think it's about wins and losses anymore. I don't think it was about that to begin the year, unless your name was Brian Callahan. But this, where we are right now, is not about wins and losses. It is about, can your interim head coach get something out of your young quarterback? And It seems like Cam Ward likes Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy likes Cam Ward. To me, it's about making this job more attractive for the next guy to come in. Because I don't know about you, I give Mike McCoy almost 0.00% chance of becoming the next Titans head coach.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it this week. Of the last three interim head coaches in the Titans and Oilers franchise history have become the full-time head coach, but... the path just doesn't seem to be straight. Like, it's there is a path for Mike McCoy to become the head coach. And we had a texter yesterday ask, you know, if he goes 10-7, would he be the head coach? I'm like, yeah, if he goes 9-2 the rest of the way, yes, he will be the head coach. But
if I went 9-2 with the roster, I'd probably be the head
coach. Right. So there's a path, but yes, you're right. This is more about seeing if you can make things easier on your young quarterback and get him trending in the right direction heading into year two. And the good news for Cam Ward is that they already soft launched the firing by making Bo Hardigree the play caller.
Yeah.
So it's like it won't be as big of an adjustment for Cam Ward on Sunday where, you know, hey, they were able to kind of ease him into this transition where you're still going to have the same guy calling plays for you. It's just a new guy standing on the sidelines with the big headset on. So we'll see what they can do for Cam Ward on Sunday. I'd really like to see the offense just...
what would you do if they go out there first drive of the game, Cam Ward 65-yard bomb touchdown?
I mean,
oh my God, hire Mike McCoy!
No, that like they... again, there's too many knee-jerk reactions on all sides of the Titans right now. Everybody wants to overreact, but I would love to see them go take a shot early on. Like, the early game planning on offense so far this year has just been so conservative, and you're not allowing your young quarterback to get into a rhythm early on in the game. I would love to see, you know, if you want to bring the three tight end set out to start the game, great. But see if you can get a play-action shot. Give Cam an option if the pressure comes. But it's got to be a different game plan than what we've seen the last couple weeks.
I just feel it's going to be more of the same. I mean, you have the same play caller that you've had the past few weeks, and he's a little bit better than your head coach that was calling plays, but not by much. Outside of the Callahans leaving, your staff is entirely the same. So I have a hard time believing it's going to be a completely different change of pace. Maybe you get that little boost that these guys, like TD and I were talking about this Wednesday. These players, I can pull up the clip of Amani Hooker if you'd like. Amani Hooker, with some special
some
words.
Some choice language,
some
yes.
choice words, basically said, yeah, this is personal for us. Our coach just got fired, and if we don't start playing better, we're next.
Yeah, the players are going too.
So they're taking this personally. Maybe that comes out with a little bit more fire for the players, especially on defense, because they want to stop this Mike Vrabel team. They have personal relationships with Mike Vrabel, but on the field, you throw all of that away. So maybe there is a little bit of a boost with this firing, but I just have a hard time believing it's going to be much, much different.
Yeah, I think you're right that the interim bump that gets talked about is mostly the wake-up call of like, oh crap, like they just fired the head coach. We've got to start playing better or else our jobs are on the line. So that's part of it. I also just think, I think there might be a stubbornness from Brian Callahan of like, my system's going to work and we're going to stick with the way my system is planned.
Oh, yeah.
And to hear Mike McCoy say, it's all about players, not plays. Again, it's just words, but I'm hoping we see that on Sunday of doing more things that Cam does well instead of just peppering the screen game over and over and hoping it works.
And you know what the best part about that quote is? You know when it was said? After practice.
Yes.
After.
You're a big advocate of the post-practice press conference.
I am indeed. Because what am I going to learn before practice?
Right.
And you've had 24 hours to digest.
Well, and during the season, I don't think it's as big of a deal, but during training camp, yes.
Yeah.
When everybody's eyes are on practice, I'd like to hear from the coach right after it wraps up.
Bingo.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your texts. We'll take your calls on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. WB in Thompson Station says McCoy will be the head coach next year because he will be cheap. Did I say he will be cheap? I don't know about that. I think Amy and this group knows that
they need a full staff overhaul.
Well, and this head coach decision is not that all of them aren't pivotal, but
they're
like,
folding the year.
You're going to lose your fan base heading into that new stadium if this next head coach isn't good. So, like, you've got to get this one right. I don't think they're going to settle for the safe, cheap option. I think they're going to go out and try and find somebody that they think can, at the very least, get their fan base a little bit more involved, because just as you just said, you don't care. And
I mean,
you know,
I care.
We sit here with mics in front of our face, like we are quote unquote the media, but like we're fans of the Titans. And to
I mean,
that's the sentiment from a lot of Titans fans, is just the apathy is starting to set in.
I mean, I care. I want them to win. I will never root for the Titans to lose unless it's an extreme circumstance, like the last week of the season last year.
Right, where it was like, hey,
oh, the Patriots just won. I would be okay if they lost this because they would get the number one overall pick.
Right.
But, of course, I want them to go in this week and beat Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
That's the fan in me. But it's just hard for me to get emotionally invested because I know what to expect.
No, it's the apathy, I think, is starting to set in for Titans fans.
I'm in football hell, and if you can't tell.
If you don't get this next head coach right, I think it goes from temporary to you may start losing fans permanently.
Yeah.
And
let's all go to the Bengals, everyone.
That can't happen. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll continue to talk Titans on the other side. Will they have some juice on Sunday after the firing of Brian Callahan this week? Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Today from noon to 3, right after us, Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live from Boston Commons in East Nashville, and we'll have some Preds tickets to give away. It is going to be an action-packed sports weekend in Nashville, topped by Mike Vrabel and the Patriots coming to town. So start your weekend off right and hang with Chase and Big Joe today at Boston Commons in East Nashville. I'm going to the game on Sunday. It is my last real chance to go out to a Titans game before women's basketball season starts.
Ah.
So I am going.
So enjoy the bloodbath.
I am very, very interested to see what the crowd looks like.
Well, I know a lot of people going, actually.
I think it's going to be a good crowd. Like, I don't think it's going to be empty, but...
But I think a lot of them are going to be wearing navy and red.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. And it was funny. I asked Andrew Allegretta when he was on yesterday about, what he thinks the factor of the crowd at Vanderbilt's going to be tomorrow, because LSU, that is a fan base that is known to travel. Like, look at the Jello Shot Challenge in Omaha. Anytime they go, they just wipe the floor with everybody. But he was like, you know what, Jake? Like, this isn't just a Vanderbilt problem. It's a Nashville problem. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I think Nissan Stadium is going to be 60% Patriots fans on Sunday. And I there's not going to be a Mike Vrabel tribute.
Why would they?
Yeah, I'm coming around on it. I had thought maybe they would. And I do think that if the Titans were good and it felt like they won the breakup, they would do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, look at how much better we are now. Yeah,
were to do it, that is Amy submitting herself and saying, we're sorry.
Right.
We were wrong.
No, she's not. They're not
doing it.
They
won't do that.
But I wonder what the reaction is going to be like. Not that they're going to announce him on the field, but they're going to, when he runs out, is it going to be a big cheer? Not just from the Patriots fans, but from everybody.
I kind of lean that way.
I think so, too.
Because I think they miss him. And I do, too, because I love Mike Vrabel.
And I don't want this to seem like we're having, we're revisionist history and saying that Mike Vrabel should have never been fired.
No, I mean, he deserved to be fired.
I think you look back now and you say, yeah, maybe it was a mistake and he should have gotten one more year. But when it happened, he had lost 18 of 24. Like, it wasn't like...
refused to change his staff.
It wasn't like it was this huge thing where it's like, oh my gosh, they fired Mike Vrabel the year after he won Coach of the Year. It's like, no, he lost 18 of his last 24 games.
And clearly still refuses to choose.
But
or change. Look at how many coaches he has from here that are on his staff right now.
Right, I think 9.
Yeah.
It's not revisionist history, but I think you look back and, hindsight's 2020, and you say, yeah, maybe they should have given him another year. Again, you can't go back and change that. I do think when they announce Mike McCoy, I think he's going to get a pretty big cheer, too.
He will.
Yeah.
And it's not because, yay, we love Mike McCoy. It's, yay, Brian Callahan is gone. We're not hearing his name in that spot anymore.
Right. So it'll be an interesting game on Sunday, to say the least. I don't have high hopes for the Titans. But I said this with TD yesterday. Again, you mentioned it to start the show. It's not about wins and losses.
Yeah.
It is about... does it look better, right? They could lose this game 38-17, which is what – that would be my pick. But if Cam Ward is in rhythm and they have a couple of drives that look competent, maybe even early on in the game, I think you can come out of it and say, all right, at least you can see that there was progress, even if they lose the game by three touchdowns, because Mike Vrabel is going to try and run up the score.
I mean, I'll tell you this. If they come out there – in the first drive, they run three straight drive plays with Tony Pollard, I may throw my remote at the television screen.
The first five play calls in Las Vegas on Sunday were so frustrating.
Infuriating.
Three straight runs, back-to-back screen passes.
Can we just go away from the screen game if you're the Titans?
You can't go away from it completely, but like...
not every other
you
play.
You don't need to run it as often as they do when
they don't
none
have
of
the
them
guys.
Have worked. I said yesterday, I'm ready to catch the strep.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're getting there?
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I want to see how this offense looks as it is under Mike McCoy. But if it looks the same or worse, I'll catch the strep with you.
I don't.
What do you have to lose?
I don't think he's playing Sunday. They put out the video yesterday that he was Kayshon Booty in practice.
You're going to get me on a rant. It's Booty.
Really?
Yes, that's what it was at LSU.
See, I heard the CBS announcers last week called him Kayshon Booty.
They're wrong.
I'm sure they're not getting their
We had Mike Reese on.
Okay. Booty?
No, he said Booty. And I'm like, you're wrong. It's Booty.
Are you 100% sure about that?
I am 1,000%
All right, we're
going to
check that during the next break.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
But it was funny, like, TD put out the video. You don't see number 9 at practice for the Titans. But Xavier Restrepo was wearing number 9 yesterday. So I wouldn't think that he's going to play if he's, you know, if he's Kayshawn Boutte this week. But maybe next week you could see him out there.
I think they hold off until after the bye. They'll reassess at the bye and be like, yeah, what do we got to lose? Throw him out there.
I mean, Tyler Lockett is just... What does Tyler Lockett do better?
You want to talk Unk.
Right.
He looks like Unk out there.
Well, and Xavier Restrepo, I don't know if you can...
He can't be much worse.
Can you take his word for it? But he said that he reached 21.5 miles per hour yesterday. New record, he said. So, you know, just putting it out there. 7008 says, I think you guys are underestimating how fired up the team will be with the new leadership. It looked a lot like, to me, they just weren't trying, and I think that's due to the coach and his method and his leadership. I'm not saying the team will win Sunday, but they're going to have to become grown men and get tired of being embarrassed every week and stand up and fight back. I think changing the coach sends the message that everyone's now playing for their job. And I could see it. Right?
Like, maybe so, yeah.
I heard Robbie say this on Monday. This was before Brian Callahan was fired. Like, have some pride. Go out there, and everyone is picking you to get embarrassed on Sunday. Adam Rank picked them to lose 59-0. He went back to the
Again?
Snow game and picked them to lose 59-0.
I don't think they're that good.
I agree. Have some pride. You may lose the game, but... You know, I'm saying 38-17 because I think Vrabel, it could be 24-17 late, but he's going to go try and put two more touchdowns on the board. I would love to see them keep it within one score. You know, you don't like moral victories, but where the Titans are right now, you kind of have to take some of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Vrabel is ever going to lose this game on Sunday. But
yeah, that's why I'm don't underestimate how fired up his guys are going to be. Because he's had this game circled for 2 years. Like, he's been ready.
Yeah.
He's been dreaming of coming back to Nissan Stadium and embarrassing that team.
Right. So, I don't have hope that they win the game, but I agree with you, Texter, 7008. Like, have some pride, show some energy after the coaching change, and at least make this a game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, if they haven't done it by today, they're not elevating this week. I don't get it. Why not see him in a game? Place up, catch a pass, run 5 plays, let him on the field. There's nothing to lose. They do the practice squad elevations on Saturdays, so it's not.
Yeah, but I'm with him. I don't think you're going to see it this week.
I don't think it's this week, but I hope sometime soon.
And right? Don't you think you would get a report from TD or someone saying Xavier Restrepo is taking first team reps right now?
Well, they wouldn't. I don't think he would be taking first team reps. Even if you elevate him, he's not going to immediately be your slot wide receiver starting.
It's hockey season,
right?
I'm in football hell right now, man. Like Titans and Kentucky. I need something.
Yeah, Vandy.
I need joy.
My adopted team, Vandy, is keeping me alive because the Hokies
are
horrible.
I'm going to Kentucky next week.
There you go.
I'm excited to be there, but I'm not excited for the outcome I think is coming.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Mike on the text line says, I'm telling you right now, the Titans win by 3. Y'all owe me a lunch if the Titans win by 3.
What if they win by 4? Do you owe us lunch?
If you're picking him to win by 4, I like it, Mike. I like the optimism. Apparently, Joe Rexrode picked the Titans to win too.
Low T for Joe this week.
Yeah,
way to go, Rexy.
So now I've got two bets. I guess I owe Mike lunch, and then me and New York Doug have the pie in the face bet about
New York Doug.
New York Doug every day this week has been texting in. We have a bet about who's going to be the better quarterback, Ward or Dart.
I didn't know we had a New York Doug.
New York Doug says this week it's cherry pie, I think he said, and then next week would be pecan pie. So.
So if you win, are you going to blast him on Nashville Radio?
I will not. Yeah, no. It's friendly over here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will talk more Titans later on in the show. But this week, with everything going on, college football hasn't gotten its due. And we've got a great slate, especially locally. So we're going to get into the college slate coming up next, starting with Tennessee and Alabama. I think the game of the week. I know Ole Miss, Georgia is a great game too, but Tennessee, Alabama, the rivalry. This one's going to be fun. We'll talk about it coming up next. We'll also talk Vandy and LSU and all the other big games across Saturday. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.
There you go. Back on track.
The theme for the show on Fridays, every single week.
WGF, baby.
Tomorrow's college football game of the week is number 14, Oklahoma against South Carolina at 11:45 a.m. on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Pivoting away from the Titans for a little bit here, let's talk some college football. Lots of big games.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of big games tomorrow. Going to be a fun day. Talking with Corey Curtis on Wednesday. News 2 is the destination for pretty much all of it. You got Vandy LSU at 11, followed by Ole Miss Georgia, Tennessee Alabama, the nightcap. And let's start with that game. Tennessee and Alabama, they have had some classics over the last couple of years.
In a new time slot this year.
Yes.
Not
the afternoon. They get the night game down in Tuscaloosa. The Vols have played with their food a little bit over the last couple of weeks. You know, Mississippi State, good team. They were undefeated heading in. That's a tough place to play in Starkville. You go to overtime, you're able to win that game. Arkansas, you're up 17 in the fourth quarter with a chance to kind of put your foot on their throat and end this game. And you let them back within three. Never really was in doubt, but, you know, let Arkansas back into it. It's going to be a really interesting game this week with Ty Simpson playing the way he has for Alabama. They've got three straight ranked wins. Tennessee needs this one to keep themselves with some leeway to get into the college football playoff. I'm really intrigued to see how this game plays out tomorrow in Titletown.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going into this one completely impartial. I don't care one way or the other because I just want a good game. I want to see good football. Like you said, Tennessee is screwing around with some stuff a little bit. They're especially on defense, and they're going to be missing some key pieces. Jermaid McCoy still isn't playing.
Yeah, still not back.
So that's tough on them, and it looks like for Alabama on the offensive side, Jam Miller is going to play.
Yep.
Coming back from a concussion. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two sides stack up. But like you said, I mean, it seems like since that 22 game, every time these two teams get together, there's some fireworks. So I expect more of the same from this game. If you were to ask me, actually, I'm not going to tell you because I'll save that for about an hour.
Monday headlines coming up at 11:30. Going to be a fun one.
But, I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm curious to see how Ty Simpson plays against this defense. He's been playing at a Tiesman level.
Yes, a Tiesman level.
Tiesman level. So far this season, and his connection with Ryan Williams started off a little bit shaky in that Florida State game, and it's kind of grown over time, and you kind of saw it in full effect last week against Missouri. So it's going to be fun to see how that works out. The Alabama receiving corps is just loaded as always.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't name them wide receiver U. I think that's probably the team out in Columbus, but
LSU would have something to say about that, too. Those two, for sure.
It's probably those two. But they're probably number three, if you were to ask me. So that's interesting to watch. Defensively, I think Alabama has had some trouble stopping the run as of late. So if the three-headed monster of Tennessee can get things going, maybe that could be cause for some damage. And then Joey Aguilar, how does he stack up in a tough road SEC environment over in T-Town? A lot of interesting storylines.
Yeah, going to be a fun one. Again, that is the 6:30 game on ABC. Parker, I pretty much every week with Tennessee this year, I've had a gut feeling about which way the game's going to go. Like, I felt good about their chances of playing with Georgia, and obviously, you know, they had the field goal to win it. I thought Mississippi State felt like a trap game. That one went to overtime. See, last week, I had a blowout. I thought Tennessee was going to wipe the floor with Arkansas. And, you know, they were in control of that game. How are you feeling about the game tomorrow? Because I honestly don't know which way this one's going to go.
Well, I was at the game last week, and Tennessee's run defense and defense in general was just piss poor, to be honest. But the injuries in the secondary really concern me because Alabama is a team that has not made a living off of running the football. I think they've had one game in which their running back, Jam Miller, has had over 100 yards. So they've lived off of the passing game. And I really think Alabama is going to be able to exploit that on Saturday. Here's the thing. I think this game is going to be really close in the first half, but then I think there's going to be this big back-breaking play for Tennessee's defense in the second half. And I think from that point, it's going to be the Tide.
Yeah, I could see that, where maybe it's 17-14 Alabama at halftime, something like that. And then Alabama gets a big play to go up 10 and just kind of never looks back from
yeah.
there.
Spread's a little high, though.
It is. It's
7.5.
It's about the same as it was when Vandy went down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very similar about those two games of like, hey, this isn't a must-win game for Tennessee. Like, if Tennessee loses this game, they still have everything they want to accomplish in front of them. But I really do think that Tennessee, if they win this game, puts themselves in a great spot to make the playoffs. What is going on back there? It's Chase. Okay.
I made a uh-oh. I don't think it got caught on camera, so we're good. But I'll tell you during the break. Yeah, it's
number one.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, well, I'm watching the replay up in New York.
Well, it's okay. The YouTube stream, as long as you didn't say it on
air. Oh, yep, we caught it. Yep, we caught it.
It's fine.
Yeah, well.
YouTube doesn't have FCC rules.
Yeah, no, we're fine on YouTube. I've lost my complete train of thought.
We have gone off the rails. The suit has walked into the studio, and Connor.
That is totally on me, but so worth it.
Well, it's going to be a profile picture for someone at some point. So
it is being screenshotted at this very moment.
Oh, what a turn here.
I just told Chase what number he is.
Yes.
The nice thumbs up.
I think the listeners out there, we're painting the picture for them.
I should have gone farther out. I didn't even realize the camera's in front of me.
You sometimes forget you're on camera sitting in these seats.
Yeah.
It happens.
Now I see why, what's his name, wears suits in the studio.
Yeah.
Pellegrino. Yeah. He wears suits for Penalty Box Radio.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Talking college football here late in hour number two. The Commodores will take on LSU tomorrow. Pregame begins at 9:30 on 102.5 The Game with kickoff at 11 a.m. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. We will try and compose ourselves in here, and we'll talk Vandy on the other side. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Oh, Ariana.
Next man on 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. Parker, spinning it back there.
Oh, my God. I was going to request some Ariana from you today.
In terms of versatility, Parker might be the best DJ back there.
Yeah, you're number one.
His words, not mine.
But did you hear Ian Safar's Vrabel mashup from this morning?
I didn't.
Oh, it's so good.
I'll have to go back.
Maybe we'll play it at the end of the show. It is so good.
Robbie said it the other day, and I've seen it in action. There are days when you can just tell Ian is proud of his mashup. I would assume today was probably
this
one of those
this
days.
One may have been his masterpiece. It was so funny.
It was He's number one.
It was almost all Vrabel.
You're all number one. I just showed you.
Yeah. If you're watching the stream, Connor thinks you're the best. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's talk Vandy and LSU right here in Nashville tomorrow at First Bank Stadium, 11 a.m. kickoff. You can listen in to the radio call with Andrew Allegretta, Norman Jordan, and Kevin Ingram at 9:30 when pregame starts. This is a huge game, and Vandy favored against an SEC team for the first time in 51 tries.
Right.
2.5 point. No. 51 tries against an SEC. It was 100-something ranked SEC team. That was the Barstool account that messed that up.
Yeah, that's why I saw a lot of Vandy fans and players upset about that.
Right, so the last time Vandy was favored in an SEC game was actually against Tennessee back in 2018. That sounds right.
Yeah, was that Butch or Pruitt? That was Butch.
It was Butch's last year,
yes.
I think.
Yes. So yes, 51 straight SEC games. It was like 170-something ranked SEC games. But Vandy is the favorite over LSU tomorrow, and this could be a statement game for Vanderbilt, where I think a lot of people were ready to take their victory laps after they lost in Tuscaloosa of like, oh, it is Vanderbilt. You guys were telling us that they could be a playoff contender. Vandy can put themselves right in the thick of the college football playoff conversation if they beat LSU tomorrow.
Yeah, and this is the kind of game where if Vanderbilt can win on defense, they can win the game. Because LSU's offense has been struggling all season. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier, we thought was going to be the best quarterback in the nation headed into the season. And like a lot of the quarterbacks across college football, he hasn't really shown that. Their offense is struggling. So if Vanderbilt's defense can play the way that they're supposed to play, this could get interesting. I trust Vanderbilt's offense to go out and produce to the level that they are capable of producing, because they've not shown me anything telling me that they can't. It's a matter of, can you win on both ends of the football? I think if you do that, you have a great chance of winning this game.
Yeah, and I think for Vandy, a lot of it is about just playing their game. Against Alabama, I think the Tide got them out of their game plan a little bit.
Yeah.
Only 6 rushes for their running backs, and that's something they lean on. Pavia is the focal point. Pavia running the football is a big part of this offense too, but getting contributions from Cedric Alexander and A.J. Newberry and M.K. Young and James L. Lassiter, like all those guys have to be factors in the game plan. Vandy was taken out of that against Alabama. You make the mistakes down in the red zone, you end up losing by 16 points. But there's an opportunity coming off the bye week to clean up some of those mistakes and get back to playing your game. I think this is going to be a close game right down to the wire. Like I usually like to make a pick on these Vandy games. I don't know if I can, because I think it's going to be, you know, 3 minutes left in the game, tie game, one possession game. Somebody's got to go make a play to win a football game. So I'm excited to see it. I'll be over there tomorrow morning, and we'll see if Vandy can do it, get to 6-1. It's not going to get any easier from here on out. You've still got Missouri. You've still got Texas. You've still got Auburn.
Don't leave them out.
Kentucky.
Yeah, don't leave them out.
And you got Tennessee to end the year. But you got to start with one. Like, this is a big game for Vandy to keep yourself with some cushion to get into the playoffs. You got to win tomorrow, and it's a huge one.
Yeah, and kind of to harp on the play your game point you made, what I've learned about Vanderbilt over the past couple of years is they like to take their time. They like to drain the clock a little bit, and they play up-tempo offense, but they like to let it marinate a little bit. Let the clock run out and play your game. Keep doing that, because
right.
LSU is capable of going up-tempo, not taking a lot of time off the clock, and scoring pretty, pretty quickly. If you let them control the pace of the game in your home stadium, I'm not going to say you're going to lose that game, but the momentum will always be in their favor, and they're capable of capitalizing on momentum.
Right, and you look at those Alabama games for the last 2 years. There's a 20-minute, right around 20-minute difference in the time of possession in the game that Vandy won versus the game that Vandy lost. So if you're able to hold on to the football, make sure you leave Nussmeier and those talented players off the field. I mean, your guy, Berrian Brown, making his return to
Wide
Nashville.
Wide receiver 6 on LSU.
So, you know, if you can keep that talented offense that has underperformed off the field, gives you a chance to control the game and see if you can go win. What's the reaction from Brian Kelly? What's the reaction from the LSU fan base?
How high does his water bottle go?
Right. And how does the LSU fan base react? Because, you know, here in Nashville, we know that this Vandy team is way more talented than previous editions of Vanderbilt football.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of LSU fans that probably are thinking it's Vanderbilt.
Same old Vandy.
And if Vandy beats them tomorrow, I think that seat starts to get nice and warm for Brian Kelly.
I think it's already nice and warm. If he misses the playoff this year with this roster and that quarterback coming back who has not played to the level he's capable of playing, then it's going to be nice and warm. Happy Valley may give him a call.
Yeah, because based on what we saw yesterday, Kurt Cignetti signs an extension.
Yep.
He's not going anywhere.
I mean, if you had to ask me, this is so off topic, but if you had to ask me right now who the front runner for that job is, it's probably Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule basically said yesterday he's not going anywhere. I agree that maybe it's just negotiating tactic.
Yeah.
because he hasn't signed an extension. But
and I like Matt Campbell there, too.
Right.
I've been listening to Parker talk about it. I like Matt Campbell.
I think he's probably towards the top of that list as well. I've seen Clark Lee get mentioned for that job. And first of all, yes, I don't think Clark Lee is leaving. And also, for Penn State, do you go back to the well? Right? Like, you just fired James Franklin, who came from Vanderbilt. Are the fans going to rally around another Vandy guy? Like, even if it's a good hire, like,
they're just similar to Florida in that they want an established guy.
Right. And just the idea of, really, we're going back to Vandy? Like, yeah. I've seen Virginia Tech fans who, when James Franklin
you're
going
to love Mark Stoops, man.
I saw a rumor that Mark Stoops was in Blacksburg last week, and I really hope it's not
you're
true.
You're going to love him. He's an upstart, young, defensive mind. You're going to love it.
Well, so Virginia Tech fans don't want James Franklin strictly because he's from Penn State and Brent Pry was from Penn State too. And I'm like, that's not a good way to think about it, but I also understand that that's probably what Penn State's thinking is, you know, we're not going to go back to Vandy. And even if offered it, I don't think Clark takes it.
No, I think he's working his dream job and he'll leave when he's ready to leave.
I mean, Clark is the hire that Candace Story Lee and Vanderbilt, like, they needed a guy who
he played here.
Doesn't view it as a stepping stone job.
He played here. He lives here, obviously. He said on multiple occasions he's always wanted to coach here.
Right.
I don't think he leaves until he's ready to leave.
Right. I mean, you heard it on the SEC Any Given Saturday documentary of I came here with the idea that I was going to be the savior of this program. And I think that's
so far he has.
Right. Scott on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says our tailgate starts at 3 a.m.
Oh, yes.
For the Vandy game tomorrow. He says we are fired up. In the wise words of the great poet Jake Owen, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Ah, what are you guys doing? Are you bringing the TV? Or are you just going to
hang
out there? It's nice and cool tonight.
That's
so
awesome. 3 a.m. tailgate. I would say the earliest I've ever started tailgating was probably 6-ish, right? Like, noon starts are tough because you got to get up and you got to get moving. 3 a.m., that's dedication right there.
I respect the absolute crap out of that.
I send in some pictures of your tailgate in like the wee hours of the morning, and we'll see those. Connor will see those tomorrow on Weekend Huddle.
Yeah, I would
love to see what's going down at 3:30 in the morning.
Are you guys bringing the Xbox? Are you going to get a little pregame College Football 26 going? I mean, I need to see what's going on here. And do I need to stop by is the question.
Yeah. Dustin from Hopkinsville makes a good point. Why even go to bed at that point? Start your tailgate at 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Bring the mobile coffee maker.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Nothing a few Red Bulls can't fix. You know, just get some caffeine. Get it rolling. 3 a.m. tailgate for Scott. I love it. Vandy, 11 a.m. kickoff against LSU tomorrow. You can listen in right here on 102.5 The Game at 9:30. Lots more games. You know, we've gone through the local ones, but a couple other big ones across college football tomorrow. We'll talk about those coming up next. We'll do our Monday headlines at 11:30 and wrap up previewing the Titans and Patriots. All of that coming up in the final hour of the show. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.